and a wife. I'm not going to preach a message about relationships or how to find a mate or anything like that. But I see here in this chapter very high standards. A high standards of a description of a woman that is quite the woman, very virtuous. And the warnings that the mother gives her son are very strict. Because of who he was, being the king, she had a high level of accountability for him. So looking at the high standards and the high level of accountability because of who he was, I'd like to draw a message from that. To charge the men and the women separately. First, with the men. You know, we like the idea of being a king. We want to be the king of the castle, the king of the hill. Well, I've got good news. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And as Christians, we're called to royalty. We are kings in Christ. But because of who we are and who we're called to be, we're called to a higher level of accountability. So we'll take these warnings that the mother of Lemuel gave to her son to heart. And this is where the boys are separated from the men. We'll see where you land as we're given a high level of accountability because we're called to be kings, called to royalty. Look first in verse 3. She said to her son, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Don't give of yourself. Don't give your abilities and your future and your potential up for a woman, to a woman. That word for strength in the Hebrew is the same word used in verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" See, the idea for a relationship is not for you to give up your strength and virtue. It's for two, a man and a woman, to both bring strength and virtue and complement each other. She's saying, don't give it up. Don't give of yourself. Don't be less of a man with your relationships with women. Don't give it up. Retain your strength, the charge. You know, we can give ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually to women. And we can be less of men because of it. So she charges him, retain your strength. Be strong. As kings, which you're called to be, you're going to need all the strength you got. Don't give it up. Don't let it go. You know, watch what you clean out your mind. Stand up and be pure. Take charge of your own life. The Bible teaches us to possess our vessel. We need to be strong. We need to retain our strength as men, as kings, as Christian men representing Christ. The Bible says in 1 John, speaking of young men, John says, "I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and because the word of God abides in you, because you have overcome the wicked one." We're meant to be strong as men. We're meant to retain our strength and have victory and overcome the enemy, the devil. We're meant to act in our strength. And the charge the mother gives her son, the king, retain your strength. Hold on, you need to be strong. These charges and this high level of accountability and this high standard is attractive. What man does not want to be strong? We want to be strong. We want to retain our strength. We don't want to look back and be pathetic and give up what we could have had because of the women around us, because we're looking at what we shouldn't. We're led by our emotions or our lusts. We want to be strong. It's attractive. It's desirable. So the charge, retain your strength, men. Act like the kings you're called to be. Secondly, we see in verse 4 through 7, she tells her son that it's not for kings to drink wine. She says, because you don't want to forget the law that you're to uphold. And she explains to him who should drink wine. In verse 6, she says, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more." More than just the idea of drinking alcohol and getting drunk, there's something else she's touching on here in this advice. You see, someone who goes and drinks to forget his problems, is misery, is poverty. She said, you know, getting drunk and using substance or whatever it is you use to just forget your problems, that's for wimps. That's for people who want to give up. But as men, as kings, we're not to give up. We're to face our problems. David, when he went to the cave of Adullam, a picture of a strong man, the Bible says that those who were down on their luck and in debt and desperate joined him. And in Psalms 34, he stood up and he charged them. He began to preach to them. And one of the things he said, "Who is he who loves life and desires many days that he may see good?" Looking at these men who had a lot of problems, he said, who doesn't want to give up? Who wants to go forward and make things better? Who wants to face their problems and turn things around, charging the men in the cave of Adullam? And that's what she charges her son with. Don't give up. Don't give in to something to just tune out and not face your problems. Stand up, be a man, face your problems and get through them. So, as kings, we're called to represent Christ, to be men. We should face our problems. We shouldn't run away from them. We shouldn't tune out. We shouldn't use a substance or our job or whatever it is we use to be distracted from life. We should face it head on because of who we are. We're to represent a higher level of accountability. And again, what man wants to be a quitter? We don't want to give up. We want to retain our strength and we don't want to give up. These are attractive qualities we should strive for. And finally, in verse 8 and 9, she gives her son, the king, a cause to live for. She says, "Open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." We need, you know, they say, and it's true, I believe, if you don't have something to live for, or they say if you don't have something you're willing to die for, you don't have something that to truly live for. We need a purpose in life. And as men, hey, we want to be strong. We want to retain our strength. We don't want to give up. But if we don't have something to put our focus into, a worthwhile cause, then we're going to get bored and it's not going to work. So she says, you know what? As a king, you have a cause. What is your cause? She says you have to speak for those who can't, for those who are appointed to die. In the Hebrew, it kind of says the sons of judgment. You know what? The world around us is dying. And Jesus is their answer. People are headed to destruction and judgment is coming. And there needs to be men to stand up and work for the cause of Christ. People need to hear about Jesus. Hurting people need to be offered help. People that don't know the truth, they need someone to tell them. And that's a worthwhile cause. That's worthy of our whole effort and our whole selves. And we need all our strength to do it. And we can't give up on such a cause. So, her advice to the king and my charge to us men who are called to be kings. Retain your strength. Don't give it up. Clean your mind up. Take charge of your life. Retain the strength that God's given you. Don't give up. Don't tune out. Face the problems before you. Work through them. And live for a cause. You know, Jesus said, "Look out unto the harvest," he said to his disciples. "The harvest is plentiful. It's ready to reap. But the workers are few." Are there any men here today that are willing to go to work for Christ? There's not many. There's a lot of openings. There's a lot of work to be done. And it's not easy. It's not for wimps. Christianity is not a sissy, wimpy thing. People think that. Guys sometimes are not attracted to the faith that the Bible offers because they think it's not manly. Oh, but it takes the most strength. And we need representations of real men. We need real men to stand up and retain their strength. Live for a cause and not give up. And the world will see that. You know what? That is what a man's supposed to be. That guy is living correctly, the way he was created to live. You see, when we worship Christ, we're fulfilling what we were created to be. And as men, we were created to be a specific type of man, created differently than women. And we'll never fully fulfill who we are until we come to Christ. And there's a true representation of what a man's supposed to be like when he lives for Christ. So, the charge to men, the high standard, the higher level of accountability, because we are called to be kings. See, the reality is, it's not if we are a king. We are called to royalty. That's who God sees us. We're children of God if we've accepted him, if we're born again. That's who we are. We're a representation of Christ. We are sons of the living God, Christians, Christ-like. So we're called to a higher level of accountability. Be strong. The cost is high. The cause is great. The time is short. Stand up. Let's be a man. To the women, the virtuous woman, such a high standard given, a demonstration, a description of such a godly, virtuous woman. But you know what? As women, you are virtuous in Christ. The question isn't, when you approach Proverbs 31, it's not reading it and seeing how you fall and being condemned at how you lack virtue. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And as men are kings, women are virtuous. And you draw from the source of all virtue in Christ. Every quality mentioned in Proverbs 31, there's 22 qualities. Every single one is attainable for you. None of these things are things you're born with. All of these things are godly attributes that can be received, can be learned, can be developed in your life. You need to know your worth. The Bible says that not only are we a new creation, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the earth for good works, that we should walk in them. He has created you for a purpose, and he has a plan for you, and you're valuable. It says in verse 10 that her worth of a virtuous woman is far above rubies. Jesus told a story about a man who found a precious pearl of great price. And for joy of that pearl, he sold everything he had to purchase it. He said, another man in a similar story found a treasure. And oh, for joy of that treasure, he buried the treasure in a field, went and sold everything he had, and bought the field. The value of the treasure, the value of the pearl of great price. You are the pearl of great price. Jesus is so crazy about you. He knows your worth, that he gave everything. He laid down his life to purchase you. You are far more valuable than rubies. Know your worth. And when the enemy tries to condemn you and tell you you're worthless, you're spoiled, you're no good, don't listen to those lies. You're a virtuous woman. The idea then is not if you are or not. It's prioritizing properly. Recognizing these qualities that a virtuous woman has and making them high priority on your list. Look in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Instead of taking all your time and effort to develop your charm and beauty, put something else higher on your list of priorities. Godly characteristics. Choose to seek to develop them. Admire the virtuous woman, the godly woman, and seek to allow God to transform your life into a more virtuous woman. To, again, because of who you're called to be, you are a virtuous woman. We're held to a higher level of accountability. Walk worthy of who you're called to be. We're going to look at some of these characteristics quickly. Look in verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. A virtuous woman is trustworthy. A quality, a godly characteristic that should be important, admired, and a priority in women's lives is trustworthiness. And for a guy, that's important. We want to trust women. So recognize that. Seek to develop that. It says in verse 12, she does him, her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. She's beneficial. A godly woman doesn't hurt or harm or hinder her husband, but is beneficial to him and helps him. It says in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Her speech and the things she says, kind, wise. So these things, you know, for those that are married, maybe recognize areas where your husband doesn't trust you, where you've hurt or hindered him, or where you've said things that you shouldn't. And that doesn't make you a non-virtuous woman, but make it maybe a priority to fix that, to resolve that, to make that better, because those are the areas that matter. Those are the areas that are admired. Also, she's described as a very industrious woman. She goes to great lengths. She takes a lot of time and effort into taking care of her family. She puts her family first. She works with her own hands. She does it herself. She's business oriented. She considers a field, buys it, she makes a profit. She's got her hands in a lot of different things. She multitasks. She's very, very industrious in what she does. She perceives quality. She knows how to get a bargain. She knows how to get something that works well. She develops. She strengthens herself. She gets stronger. She does better. And so these are the qualities that should be admired today and sought to be developed in your lives as virtuous women. Also, we see in verse, I like this one, once I find it. Verse 25b. Strength and honor are clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Like the man who's the king and is not to give up, so the virtuous woman, she's looking forward to the future. She hasn't given up. She rejoices in time to come. She's looking forward to developing more and going forward in as a virtuous woman. So she doesn't give up either, but she goes forward. Also, as the man has a cause to live for, look in verse 20. She extends her hands to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. So the virtuous woman cares and reaches out to the hurting around her. You see, you think, you read this description of this virtuous woman, she's have to be someone who looks down her nose at everybody around her because of her godly qualities and how, you know, developed she is. And yet, no, she reaches out and cares and loves those around her, those that are poor. Doesn't say, oh, you should work harder like me. No, she seeks to help them. And so, as we're called to a high level of accountability as men to be kings, as women to develop virtue, we're not called into this place of holiness to separate ourselves from the world and look down and judge them. But we're called as examples to reach out to them, to love them, to pray for them, and to help them. It's not a separation, it's not a prideful thing as we allow the Lord to change our lives. It's for a cause of love for the people around us. So the woman also has a cause to reach out to the poor and needy, to those that are down and hurting. Also, we see that it's worth it. The woman is blessed. In verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters, the husband says, have done well, but you excel them all. She's blessed. A woman that is virtuous and allows the Lord to develop the right qualities, she's blessed for it. She's praised for it. She's fulfilled in that lifestyle. She enjoys it. She shall be praised. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her. All the effort she puts forth into developing godly qualities bring forth fruit. They make a difference. And just as the man looks and it desires to not give up and be strong, so the woman desires to be virtuous and praised and appreciated and fulfilled and developed in godly qualities. It's what we need. Godly women standing up as an example for the world. You know, that's right. That's attractive. That's good. I want to be like that. We need men and women to stand up and be examples. Time is short. We need to raise the standard. Verse 10 again, who can find a virtuous woman? The mother telling her son, you know, she's hard to find. But also for the world, where are they? Maybe, you know, some people around you have no other source of finding a virtuous woman, because there's not a lot of people out there. Who can find a manly man standing up in the strength of the Lord? Where are they? Many people may not see any, have any examples, may not see the truth of a godly person. I see it. I see people all the time will stand back and say, you know, the church isn't for me. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. There's nothing real about it. They're not real. They're not people to be desired. Those qualities aren't for me. We need to stand up, and we need to stand up not in our own strength. This is not a message about raising the standard in our own efforts trying to achieve them. If you try to be a virtuous woman without fearing the Lord, you're going to get real frustrated real quick. If you try to stand up and be a man and be strong and rule your own emotions and never give up and face all your problems, you're going to try to fix the world and you're going to come short and you're going to fall down because you're not strong enough. We need to, again, we're not kings apart from Christ. We're not virtuous if we don't draw from the source of virtue. So it's not about trying hard to be a good person. It's about allowing the Lord to achieve His purpose in our lives. He calls us. If He's called us, He will equip us. Raising the standard. The world needs examples. Fleshly efforts are common. The world's familiar with people trying to be good. Men trying to be strong. Women trying to be desirable. The world's familiar with that. The world's not familiar with godly men standing in the strength of the Lord, truly exemplifying strength, facing their problems, living for a cause, the cause of Christ. That's what the world needs to see. Women, not appearing to be something, but truly with character and virtue. You know, a lot of people today, they want to be all the benefits of godly characteristics and hard work, but they don't put any of the effort. But a true example shines and is needed. I want to end with scripture in Thessalonians. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We'll read verse 11 also. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Men, you're called to be kings. Walk worthy of the calling. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to walk worthy of the calling that He's given us. Women, you're called virtuous women, Proverbs women. It's not something you can't achieve. It's something He calls you. Walk worthy of your calling. Put the effort and allow Him to be glorified through your life. Let's pray. Father,